sweat technique.
You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Joey Loperfido is on his way to Houston. He's going to be a Houston Astro. They'll make the move tomorrow. Still need a roster spot to come open, both on the 26-man and the 40-man, because he's not on the 40-man. So I would send down Singleton and probably DFA, the shortstop that's on the roster that I didn't even know was on the roster until I looked today. I just think that you need to keep an extra infielder. I'm not losing sleep if he isn't the guy that they keep. If they keep Singleton, not Kessinger, okay, whatever. I don't care that much. Jacob Amaya. Jacob Amaya. He's like a 25-year-old light-hitting shortstop. He's on your 40-man roster. He doesn't need to be. Also, Forrest Whitley's got elbow issues with his right arm again. Jeez. Like, maybe you have to transfer him to the 60-day IL. You could do that, too, to open up a spot on the 40. I'm not really worried about the 40. I'm worried about the 26. I think a spot is going to want the extra infielder as opposed to the third first baseman. But we'll wait and see. I agree that it's small potatoes. It's not a big deal. Now, the question is, how do you use Joey Loperfido? Now that he's going to be up, now that he's going to be on this team, how are you using Loperfido on a daily basis?
Look, to me, I'm going to try him first and foremost at first base. I'm going to platoon with Abreu. He's played the position before. I need to see him get at bats in the major leagues. I know that we've talked about it, and the fact that you've got some guys with the versatility of Dubon and Chaz that can play center, that can play left, that can move around in the outfield. Loperfido is versatility to play both. Primarily, he's being brought up in my mind to be one of the two first basemen. So I need to see him get a platoon situation going with Abreu, see how he handles major league pitching. And if there's any signs that he's doing what, you know, at a lesser degree, what he's been doing in Sugarland, then there's your first candidate to be the short-term and possibly long-term for the rest of this season first baseman for this team.
Yeah, I would deploy him at first base myself. You have some options with him because he can play all over the field. He can play all three outfield positions. And you need a left-handed bat in the outfield. We talked about this as far back as the offseason. I would have loved a left-hand bat. And maybe Loperfido's that guy, and we can all forget about what we were talking about in the offseason. Because, look, Chaz McCormick right now, struggling, period. But over the course of his career, struggles against righties. Same thing with Jake Myers. Jake Myers is better against lefties than he is righties. So you have the options of playing him in the outfield whenever, you know, you have a righty on the mound and you want to give Chaz a day, you want to give Jake a day. Dubon has been an option in the outfield quite a bit recently because he's the only guy, it seems, like can hit with runners in scoring position. But where you're your weakest, and I understand Chaz isn't going very good and Jake doesn't hit the ball that well, but where you're your weakest is at first base. Mm-hmm. Like, the Astros have the lowest WAR at first base than anybody else in the American League. They are nearly double the team that has the second worst WAR at first base. We mentioned earlier in the show, Jose Abreu's on pace for a minus 6.9 WAR, which would shatter the previous record held by a guy from the 1940s with a negative 4.0 WAR. So where you need the most help is at first. And guys like Chaz and Jake, like, they're younger, they play better defense, you know, in positions that you need defense more than you need defense at first base. I'm using Joey Loperfido primarily at first base to see if he can take over the job with the rare start in the outfield to give those guys a break. If they're reeling, if you need to see if Jose Abreu has found the fountain of youth, whatever the case may be. Joey Loperfido, to me, is my first baseman if I'm making this move right now.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, Jeremy, to consider in all of this is Abreu's still going to play some at first base when he does.
I don't like that.
But I think it's just a reality we all have to face because I don't think they're going to DFA him, and I think that
you can bench him, though. You don't have to put him in the lineup.
You can, but I just don't see this organization and the Crane Gang doing that, and I think that they're still going to force-feed him into the lineup periodically. When you do that, if you want to put Joey Loperfido in center or you want to put him in left and see, especially if he's hitting the ball at all, and see that, you know, again, how he adjusts to major playing the outfield in the majors as opposed to in Sugarland. But if he's made some great catches that we've seen on social media when he's played for Sugarland, if he can hold his own and play defensively and give you another option in the outfield as well, just to keep his bat in the lineup too, then I'm all for that too, because I think that the depth of the outfield, if and when and hopefully they find some kind of solution at first base, there's still going to be concerns if Chaz doesn't get hitting.
You want Chaz or Abreu in the lineup?
Chaz.
There you go. Like, that's my response to your statement.
But do you disagree with me that they're going to force Feed Abreu into this lineup?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
I think that from Crane on down, I just think they're going to force the hand of
Joe Espada. No, I agree
with
you. I just don't like it.
And he's
going
to play.
I agree. I just don't like it.
I don't either.
If I were running the team, then Abreu starting every now and then. Like, if Loperfido's struggling, if you want to get him against a lefty and Loperfido's struggling against lefties, if you want to sit Chaz, Jake, that sort of thing. But Loperfido, to me, would be playing first base five times a week.
I'd be great with that. I would love that. I just don't see them doing
that.
No,
I'm with you on that.
And I think that, you know, they're going to be – Joe Espada's going to be force-fed. Not that it's going to get to an ultimatum, but they're going to tell Joe Espada that Abreu's going to find starts at first base.
Probably so, because they're paying him lots of money. Yep. And they're not going to just write it all off.
And now, whether it's the BS back of the baseball card or it's just the fact that when you listen to these guys talk, there's that in their minds there's a belief he's going to find it again.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
I don't either. He's overmatched by just about every pitch thrown at him.
But I feel like they think that too. Otherwise, they wouldn't be calling up Loperfido yet. You know?
But then you hear Dana and you hear Bagwell and you hear these guys talk and you hear them talk about the fact that he's done this before and we believe he's gonna figure it out. He's gonna work his way through this. This team was as poor of a start as they've had. They don't have the time to be patient and wait and let him work through it in the lineup, but I believe they're going to because of the finances.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of talking on both sides of your mouth, but like the left side of your mouth is what you would do and the right side of your mouth is what the Astros are going to do, and I kind of agree with you. Now, I wish that they would listen to us instead of play Jose Abreu, but I do agree that they're probably not going to give up on Jose Abreu.
I agree because the main reason too is because this team is too good or has the possibilities and the capabilities of being too good to have the mentality of we're not ready to cut him yet, so we just have to keep putting him out there and hope that he finds it. Keep our fingers crossed and keep the rabbit's foot in the four-leaf clover. This team's too good to be screwing around with an empty spot in the lineup at first base, which is an important offensive position.
I'd DFA him. I'd be like, see ya. I've seen enough. I'm DFAing ya. Because you're going to have to pay the money anyways. Like, everybody's saying, well, just put him on the IL. Find a mystery injury. You're paying him to go sit on his couch. You can pay him to go sit on his couch without putting him on the IL. You just DFA him.
Main reason why they're saying that, too, is because of the fact that he's done this before and that push late in the season makes people believe he could do that again. Well, he's a year older, and his swing's a lot slower. I don't think he can do that again.
Yeah, I think it's gone. I don't know what that text means, 4683. 7565, all I want to know is can J-Lo scoop the ball at first base when Bregman inevitably spikes it? I don't know much about his defense at first, other than he told us that he played first base in college because they were trying to find his bat in the lineup. Now, he's a good athlete. So I'm sure he's okay there. Now, in terms of like a bunch of reps at first base, he doesn't have a bunch of reps. So we're probably going to, if he plays a lot of first base, I'm sure we're going to see some like footwork issues and just like the things that you pick up with a lot of repetition. Cause he's not a natural first baseman.
Right.
He's a natural outfielder who's a good athlete who can play first base. And I think he'll pick up to it nicely. I think Chandler Rome's article, there were some scouts that said he's doing pretty good at first base, but that his value is in the outfield. But with the Astros, because they have Jose Abreu and John Singleton, that his value will be at first base.
Did he say to us when he was talking about all the gloves he brings along and everything, like, did he also have an infield glove that he could play other infield positions?
I don't think in the bigs.
Did you remember that, Brian?
I do remember him saying he brought more than just two gloves along with him.
Yeah, I thought he was capable of playing middle infield.
I don't think he's ever done that professionally.
I don't think he's played anywhere but first and outfield.
I was just curious.
He said he played second in college a little bit, but he's never done that in the bigs. Okay. He's only played the outfield spots and mostly the corner outfield spots.
And I just bring that up in case we need versatility if you're looking to if you're worried about pigeonholing Dubon.
Yeah, I think this doesn't. He's not going to give you positional flexibility on the infield other than first base or an extreme emergency. I'll double check that, but I'm pretty sure he hasn't played any other position in the minors. Here's my comp. Would you take this for Joey Loperfido's career? Big, towering, lefty, 6'3", 220, can play first base, can play any of the outfield spots. Would you take it if his career was Joey Gallo?
Ooh.
You can have it right now. You can have it right now. You can have Joey Gallo's career. If you don't take this, then he could be better. He could be worse. You make the deal.
Deal?
You make the deal. He could be Joey Gallo right now. You can take it. Lock it in. He's Joey Gallo. Or if you don't, Maybe he can be twice as good, but maybe he's not even half as good.
I think at this point with the situation that they're in and the fact that this was not a guy that they were looking at their farm system and thinking was going to be a guy that they were going to be counting on, I'd take it.
Real quick, he has played some second base in the Pro Bowl.
There you go.
So he's played 50 games at second base, never anywhere else. He played 21 games there last year. So I guess emergency second baseman.
Yeah, so at least he has the capability, kind of like who was Kessinger, your third catcher
last
year?
Yeah, Kessinger can play all the infield positions and third catcher. But yeah, I mean, he's somebody who can at least, you know, man second base for a couple
of
years.
If you had to, right? So, look, on the Joey Gallo question, I think because of the fact that he had some good years, he has a ton of pop. We know it's a boom or bust situation. He was a above average outfielder with his throwing arm. We know that as well too. So if you know that he can stand up to major league pitching at least enough to hit double digit home runs and be a guy that for as long as you need him can fill multiple positions, I think I'd have to take it.
I think I would take Gallo's career right now. Like, Gallo had some huge seasons. Now, Gallo's, like, career numbers aren't very good under the Mendoza line, but does have a 783 OPS. But he's had some years where he hit 41 homers, he hit 40 homers, he hit 38 homers. He also had a couple of years where he hit, like, 253 one year. He hit, like, 225 one year. Now, you're not going to get batting average, but he's going to draw some walks. He's going to strike out a ton. But he's going to hit some tanks. He's going to hit some dongs.
Was he a gold glove outfielder one year?
He was twice.
Twice.
2010, he won a gold glove. 2011, won a gold glove. I don't know if it was in the outfield. It might have been first, but maybe outfield.
I think one year it was because he had a lot of putouts in the outfield. I think that he had won a gold glove at least one of those years as an outfielder.
Two-time All-Star, which means nothing. Two-time gold glove. A couple of years where he hit 40 homers. Another year where he hit 30 homers, but he strikes out a third of the time, and he's going to have a .210 batting average.
I'm taking it, too, because of the fact that from an organizational standpoint, the urgency is now, and if you bottle up some good years from him, nothing says he's got to finish his career here, and you can upgrade it later. But for this year, if that's what you get and that's what you start to get, I'm all for it.
Both of Gallo's gold gloves are in the outfield.
There you go.
And I would say both of his 40 home run seasons are his first two full major league seasons. So
if get it immediately.
Yeah, exactly. If we're worrying about the here and now, the next, you know, 2-3 years while this team is actually still together before contracts start to run out, I think you got to take that. Because even though in those 240 home run seasons, his batting average was 209, 206, his OPS is over 800 in both those seasons. So I would take it.
At least he can be Bregman at the plate.
Yeah. With bombs, though.
Bregman with bombs.
As opposed to the anti-bomb.
So we're taking Joey Gallo, huh?
Yep. I would take it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is what it's come to, Jeremy. This is literally what it's come to.
Would you take Joey Gallo when it comes to Joey Loperfido? Brandon T., please know. Hopefully he'll turn out to be a better ball player than Joey Gallo. I think we forget that Joey Gallo was actually pretty good for a while.
Yep.
Like you mentioned, the two gold gloves. All-stars don't mean anything, but it means you're in the conversation. He had home run. He had 41 homers, 40 homers, 38 homers. Like,
those are big numbers in the major leagues, man.
He's going to hit .210. He's going to strike out a third of the time, but he's going to hit 40 homers? I would take Joey Gallo. I would take Joey Gallo. 713-780-ESPN, Texan Guru on YouTube. Joey Gallo plays great defense, better than Jose Abreu. 210 is better than 099. We are desperate. Good point. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, guys. Hypothetical trade for Jose Abreu. Let me know what you think. Two big contracts. Swap them out one for one. Jose Abreu to the Rockies, let him hit an altitude, and we bring in Chris Bryant. What do you think about that?
Why would the Rockies do that?
Yeah, why?
He hung up. You can't trade Jose Abreu. Like, I
talked about it.
I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to match up bad contracts. But which bad contract would you rather have if you're the Rockies? You'd rather have Chris Bryant than Jose Abreu. Like, Bryant still gives you a slimmer of hope that he can try to find something because he's much younger. Now, contract does end sooner with Jose Abreu. Yeah. Like, it ends after next year, where Chris Bryant's contract runs through 2028.
Yeah, it for the Rockies, they do it because they're big on cutting bait and getting out of contracts. Even after they had signed Arenado, they got out of it. They're a small market team or smaller market team, and they don't like those deals. They would probably do it in a heartbeat just so that they could save money.
This is a lose-lose, I think. I don't think either team would be willing to do this. I don't think the Rockies would do it. I don't think the Astros would do it.
But I think that if they would, I think the Astros would probably.
No way.
Did you guys mention the length on the contracts?
Yeah, he signed to 2028. The Astros aren't like the Astros. Yeah, he just had to live for Jose Abreu.
No,
they're not going to bring in a guy who hasn't done anything since he signed that contract, and he's still on the books after this year for 4 more years at $27 million.
How old is he?
Yeah.
He's 32 this year, but he's hurt. Like, he's always hurt.
You get 1 more year of Abreu on the books or 4 more years of Chris Bryant. I would just stay.
I guess it was too risky.
We might have found somebody with lower trade value than Jose Abreu.
Chris Bryant, at least, you'd think, could catch up to a fastball in the major league still better than Abreu. But, yeah, the contract is a strength.
If you gave both guys 200 at-bats, Chris Bryant would be better. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I agree with that. It's just the fact that you have to pay him $27, $28 million for 4 more years after this year. No thanks. We've already had to deal with a bad contract and living through that. Let's not do those contracts anymore. Speaking of which, I was making fun of Correa today and ticked off Minnesota Twins fans. They've been in my mentions all day. 713-780-ESPN. We found another Cal McNair soundbite from draft weekend. So we're going to have to share that with you. Also, one more player, maybe two players that I want to talk about too that the Texans drafted. Kalen Bullock and Cade Stover. What do they bring to the Houston Texans, and where do they step in on the depth chart immediately, halfway point, and at the end of the year? 713-780-3776, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, and ESPN 92.5. Hey, make the cleaner choice with Gentle Ben. We're always trying to make good decisions, right? We're always trying to be a little bit health conscious, trying to be smart about what we do. Well, make the cleaner choice with Gentle Ben. Gentle Ben is fantastic. The vodka, the gin, the bourbon, all in the rotation for me, and Gentle Ben Spirits does it better than anyone else. How? Well, their revolutionary Percedo technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you'll ever taste. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it, including gluten. That's right. There's no gluten in Gentle Ben, but Gentle Ben isn't going to brag about not having gluten like some other companies will, because all spirits are naturally gluten-free. Try a sip of Gentle Ben vodka, gin, straight bourbon, cask-strength bourbon. Compare it to what you drink, and you'll never go back. I've been a Gentle Ben man ever since I had that first sip. You get all the flavor with none of the burn. It is smooth. It is clean. Eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. We had a caller last week that chastised me for saying, you're not selling Gentle Ben hard enough. It's way better than you make it sound. We'll take his word for it. It's way better than I make it sound. Get Gentle Ben at the Minute Maid Park when you go to some Astros games. They just stop by their kiosk to the left of the Crawford boxes, pick up some bourbon on the way to your seats or whatever they're offering. Look for Gentle Ben at the liquor store. Pick some up on your way home. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant, your favorite bar. There's a tasting room in Alvin that's fantastic. And you can order straight online. Yeah, just head to gentleben.com to learn more about your new favorite and order straight from the website, gentleben.com. Gentle Ben, the secret ingredient is what's not in it.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Keith from L.A. says, hey, Beehive, a friend of mine's son got drafted this weekend. Johnny Wilson out of Florida State. I got drafted to the Eagles in the 5th round. I appreciate the shout-out. Keith, we don't do shout-outs on this show. What are you thinking? We're not going to do shout-outs to Johnny Wilson out of Florida State, friend of your son, Keith from L.A. Come on now. 1530, yes, I'll take a Joey Gallo career right now. 6955, you take Joey Gallo right now, no questions asked. And the Dome Foamers podcast on Twitter says, bad word, no. So there's your range there. I'm surprised it says unanimous or as close to unanimous. I thought that there would be – I thought it would be 50-50. It's way greater than 50-50.
I mean, King of Twitch on Twitch does not believe that.
What did he say? I haven't been looking at the Twitch recently.
A lot of negativity and name calling that said, but if you think Gallo is a good choice here, you are a producer and need a helmet inside.
A helmet inside? What does that mean?
I don't know what that exactly means, but he's obviously anti-Joey Gallo.
Hit 40 dongs twice. I mean,
and we're talking about short-term solution. We're not talking about a number one prospect in the farm system that you were hoping and in desperate need of to be successful long-term, like, you know, guys that have been that guy and have failed miserably, like the one that's currently in your bullpen with elbow issues. You're looking for a guy that can give you some kind of pop and some kind of production at first base short-term no matter what, and then you'll deal with the rest.
Let's be very honest on, like, Loper Fido, too, as a prospect. Like,
He's not a top 100 guy.
Has Joey Loperfido ever shown up on a top 100 prospect list? Like, this isn't this blue chip five star prospect who's on like everybody's top 50.
Who's the De La Cruz or not De La Cruz? Yeah,
he's with the Reds.
No. The one that the Sugarland had that he was another one was the top one. He had a really good year for Sugarland. They traded him to Miami as part of the deal to get Yimi Garcia.
I think it was Brian De La Cruz.
De La Cruz. Yeah, so there you go.
He's been solid though.
Yeah, but I mean, as an organization, you didn't look at him and think this is a piece that we're going to be building around it, and he's going to play a role for us going forward in the future.
Well, here's another way to ask this question: will Joey Loperfido hit 200 big league homers? Because Gallo has 201.
No, he won't.
And he's still playing.
I don't think he will.
He's still playing. Will Loperfido get to 200 big league homers?
I wouldn't bet on it. I'll at least put
that's
it that
not
way.
Easy to do.
No,
it's not easy to roll out of bed and hit 200 homers.
I mean, even if he's a plus power hitter and averages 30 home runs a year, you're talking about 7 seasons doing that.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about right now you can take 200 home runs. Right now.
Does Kyle Tucker even have 200 home runs for his career yet?
He's probably getting close.
I don't think he does.
I bet you he's close.
I know. Close, but not there.
No, never mind. He's not even close. He's not?
What is he at?
What is
109.
He at? Really?
109.
So there you go.
Yeah. This is only his fourth full year. He had the half year. And he had like a cup of coffee in 18, cup of coffee in 19, half a year. Not even half a year. 30 year in 20, the COVID year. And then every year since then, he's been a regular. 109 home runs.
I think that's the answer then. I mean, the odds are against Joey Loperfido ever hitting 200 home runs in his career. And he's not, like we've said, he's never made a top 100 list. I think you have to be realistic about the type of prospect he is.
If he fills the short-term need that you have desperately, so be it. Then deal with the aftermath, if there is such a thing or you're concerned about it. But, you know, like King, he followed it up and said, we need a guy that strikes out more than he gets on base, but he hits bombs. Yeah, guess what? Because he hits bombs. And right now, neither one of your first basemen are hitting any bombs. And you need production out of your first baseman. So it's boom or bust. You'll take the booms, deal with the bust, and know that he's a better option right now, that the Gallo type, than the two guys you got playing first base, period. End of story.
Well, I mean, Joey Loperfido is going to strike out a ton.
That's what I'm saying. but that's what I'm saying. If Joey Loperfido is Gallo this year for this team,
really,
he's still better than what you got.
Like, let's be honest on who Joey Loperfido is going to be. Like, hey, hopefully, like, his minor league numbers right now, he's got 37 strikeouts and 101 at-bats. That's 37% of his.
Awful.
It's not his plate appearances. Let's throw in plate appearances. Let's say that he strikes out 30% of the time. What's he going to do at the big league level? He's probably going to strike out greater than 30% of the time.
And even that 30% number would be below average.
Right. And, like, say it's 40%, but he hits home runs, like, and he hits 30 out of the ballpark. I'll take 40% strikeouts with 30 home runs. But, like, if we think that Joey Loperfido is not going to strike out at an alarming rate, we're not being honest with who Joey Loperfido is. He's going to hit for power. He's going to hit home runs. Hopefully he has like a 235 to 250 batting average. 250 is probably on the high end. And he's going to strike out 35 to 40% of the time. That's just what's going to happen. And you can tell this because, you know, you're not going to hit major league pitching better than you're going to hit AAA pitching.
Yeah, if this was a guy, if Loperfido was a prospect that had found his way into multiple top hundreds, and he was on the high side of it, he was in the top 50 for multiple years, he was the number one, you know, prospect in your organization for multiple years, then sure, I would probably opt on the side of not settling for Gallo production. But if we're looking at a guy who strikes out a ton, he's never been a top 100 prospect, and you're looking at a short window of time for this team to still compete before they run out of contracts with a couple of their players reaching nearly the end, then yeah, I would look at Joey Gallo and seeing his first two full seasons, he was a 40-plus home run season or a 40-plus home run hitter, and I would take it.
Yeah, plus you just have to know who he's going to be. You have to be realistic with who the prospect's going to be, too. Like, even if you eliminate the comparison for a moment, Joey Loperfido at best is going to be a 250 hitter. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he gets on base 35% of the time. He's going to slug. He's going to hit for power. He's got power in his bat, but he's also going to strike out at minimum 35% of the time and more likely 40% of the time. Now, he's going to give you better defense at first if he's your first baseman. And he also has surprisingly good speed. So, like, that's something that's unique from a first baseman and certainly unique from Jose Abreu. So, like, that's who Loperfido is going to be.
Yeah, if he strikes out more than he gets hits, but those hits are productive, and you're not looking for him to save the day and be a franchise player for the long term, anything. That's the thing you're missing. All these people that are against it are missing is he's better than what you have currently, and there's no solution other than him walking through the door anytime soon. So take it.
Yeah. Someone said, I'd rather have Gary Cooper than Lo Perfido. He ended up getting traded. Red Sox traded for him so he wouldn't be subject to waivers. So, like, that's why I'm not bashing the Astros, because we don't know if they put a claim in on him or not. And maybe, you know, maybe the Lo Perfido news is things that, you know, and evidence that they did, like that they were going to put a claim on him. They missed out on him because somebody else traded for him. Okay, we need improvement at first base. Let's go get, you know, let's call up Lo Perfido. 1711-200 is a lot of dongs. Yes, that is a lot of dongs. Joey Gallo has 201. That's why the number was there. 8240, I'll take getting on base more with a little less strikeouts over Gallo's homers. Remember when the Astros would shift to one side of the field of Gallo? Yes.
They can't do that now.
But that's not who Lo Perfido is. Like, Lo Perfido kind of projects to be a Gallo type. Lots of home runs, lots of strikeouts, good athleticism. He's not going to reinvent who he is as a hitter. Joey Lo Perfido, like this year, all throughout his minor league career, big bat, lots of strikeouts. So he's not going to become Luis Arraez overnight. Like, this is who he is as a player. It's not going to change. If he gives you Adam Dunn type yearly numbers, he still beats the heck out of the guys you have there. Adam Dunn, borderline 500 home runs. Like, you're
Adam
talking
Dunn
about
was
a guy
monster
who's
a, for years.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy who, like, he's not quite a Hall of Famer, but he almost had 500 home runs. Like, if you're throwing Adam Dunn into Joey Lo Perfido, you're not really being realistic. Adam Dunn, shout out New Caney. Played softball with him one time. Tanks. Slow pitch softball.
White Sox and Reds?
Yeah. I think he ended up playing for maybe
like
one more team. Like late
teams.
In his
late
career.
Late in his career, he bounced around a little bit.
But Reds were his, where he picked up the brunt of his numbers.
Yeah, he hit some.
Yeah, Reds and White Sox. I think he also played for the Orioles for a little bit.
Somebody gave me a weird Adam Dunn stat. Like yesterday, actually, going off the cuff here, I believe Adam Dunn is the only player in history that had a 100 RBI season without a single sacrifice fly.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that bizarre?
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. Oso, remember when Chris Carter either struck out or hit a moonshot homer? I'll take that over Jose Abreu right now. It's a good call, Oso. John Singleton bombed homers in AAA also. It's a good point. Like, maybe Lo Perfido can hit big league pitching. But you know one thing he's not going to do? He's not going to become a better contact hitter.
Well, but here's the other thing, too, that, again, to the John Singleton point, which goes to what you've seen so far for the production that you've had at first base sucks. John Singleton has had however many major league at-bats again this season, so you can figure out exactly who he is. Start getting Cabbage and Lo Perfido first, the ability to have the same opportunity. If they capitalize and do more with it, you're better off than what you've been putting out there every day. So go with it.
5798, is Jose Abreu's OPS below the Jake Asman line that Granato listed? It's above my pay grade.
What?
But yes.
I don't remember the line. But
yeah, I think there was the I think it was actually return. I think it was ROI. Whenever Asman said they should release, they should fire Granato to save money for ESPN when they were doing all their cuts. Remember that?
Oh, and he said something about...
I think it was ROI, not OPS.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah.
I think it was more about ROI. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get into the Kalen Bullock pick. I want to see what D'Amico had to say there. We'll get into the Cal McNair little bonus sound we have for you, and you love listening to Cal McNair. Also, how about the Texans getting C.J. Stroud's old tight end back on this football team, or on this football team, and back reunited with C.J. Stroud. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Mike Holly, he used to play football too. In fact, he used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner, U of H class of 1990. Go Cougs. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. HRMP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRMP will also work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRMP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRMP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Also, their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Always get a quick response. Easy to understand. Let HRMP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burdens so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRMP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Cal McNair, thanks to Coug Blaze on Twitch, go Cougs. He sent me another cow that he found. I didn't see this. So, Coug Blaze, thank you for this. Thank you for sending this our way. Here was we played earlier Cal McNair sound whenever he called the second pick for the Houston Texans. Whenever he called, he asked, is your family there? Are you excited to be our second pick, Blake Fisher? He's like, yeah, we are. Here was Cal McNair, the buffoon. Love Cal McNair. Cool Cat Cal. We love him. But he's a bit of a buffoon. We can all agree. Here was Cal calling the new Texans tight end, Cade Stover.
Congratulations. Yeah, man, we're looking forward to getting you here. You got someone to throw you a ball, you may recognize.
Yeah,
right. All right, come on down and let's play some ball.
You might be familiar with your quarterback. Come down here and let's play some ball.
Wow. So at least we've got the clarity that all the calls weren't the same, but he didn't need notes for this one because at least he could put two and two together and figure out who his college quarterback was, which is kind of a, can you be a friendly, lovable buffoon?
I think he's lovable.
So buffoon isn't negative per se.
No, it just means you're dumb. It means you're as dumb as a box of rocks. You can be. I think a lot of buffoons are actually lovable.
Like, was it George from Of Mice and Men?
Don't know that.
You don't know the book Of Mice and Men? You never had to read it?
No, I listened to podcasts.
And there was also a movie about it?
No. When was this movie made? The Mice of Men.
Of Mice and Men. Tommy Lee Jones was in it.
Okay. The book Of Mice and
Men. We had to read it in high school.
This was published in 1936.
Right, but it's a classic. It's in literature class. You have to read it.
Not anymore.
Okay. Well, have at it. Have fun. But it's a classic, and it was also made into a movie, and one of the main characters is, I guess, what you would classify as a buffoon.
Yeah, I think buffoons are like, Of Mice is, it's a 1939 American drama
That's
film.
That's not the movie.
Based on
it
the 1937 remade. Play. 1992 is when it was remade.
There you go.
1992. I have heard of it used, like in pop culture. I've heard it talked about, but I've never read the book Of Mice and Men, and I've never watched the movie Of Mice and Men. It sounds like a mice and a few men.
Well,
is that what it's about?
I couldn't tell you what the plot is, but I've heard of it, but I couldn't tell you what the plot is.
What's the plot of Mice and Men?
Tommy Lee, the George character, I believe that it is a guy that maybe has some issues, that he's not all there all the time, but he's super lovable and super friendly, and then ends up mistakenly creating harm on somebody.
Sounds like a banger.
Okay.
Sounds like a...
You can rip it all you want, but it's a classic book, and it was actually, a very popular movie.
I said,
being sensitive.
Yeah, I said it was good. I said it sounds good, and you're taking it like I said it negative.
Yeah, you were really tongue-in-cheek in the bang.
I was super serious. It sounds very, very good. Here is Nick Caserio on Cade Stover, the new tight end for the Houston Texans.
I mean, I don't want to speak for D'Amico, but I think we feel the same way. This is probably one of our favorite like football players in the entire draft. Regardless of position, because of his mentality, because of his mindset. And he still is developing as a player. I mean, 2 years ago, he was playing defensive end in the Rose Bowl against Utah. Now he's, played tight end for 2 years, and here he is getting picked in the bottom of the fourth round. And his position is, we think tight end. That's why we drafted him. But blue collar as they come, and from a makeup, traits, toughness, mentality, I mean, this is an elite guy.
He talked pretty highly there, Stover.
Well, but think about it, too, when Pearsall was drafted by the Niners and CJ was doing that podcast with what's his name from the Cowboys, and he was really genuinely bummed about the fact that he really loved the way Pearsall ran routes and what a receiver and what talent it was. I got to believe that there were conversations with CJ about him, too, and CJ probably was pretty fired up about the possibility of getting him in that tight end room. I think it makes the tight end room better for the long term, regardless of what he can do short term, because you got Schultz for the short term.
Yeah, it was. I was surprised to see how strongly they were talking about Stover. They love his toughness. Now, I do think he doesn't have, like, he's not the biggest tight end. He doesn't have, like, the most athleticism. I think his best trait is that he is really tough. Really tough. And they love that about him. That's why he slipped to the fourth round, because his best trait is his toughness. I think he completes the room. I think he's a really good number two tight end. I think eventually he'll be a starter.
Uh-huh.
Schultz is obvious. He's not passing Schultz. Schultz, as long as he's here, is the starter over Stover.
But some of the guys that I heard, NFL Network and a couple of the places, talking about him were talking about the fact that there's not one trait that he does like at a standout level, but with his strength, his athleticism, his quickness, his ability to block, and the fact that he's still learning the position, there's a lot of people that believe just as a football player that he's going to continue to get better and that he's an NFL talent. And so if they feel like they can develop him and eventually he becomes a starter or the second best, your second tight end, so be it.
2568, Forrest Gump equals Cal. 8, Honey Glaze Branham, Barney Fife was a lovable buffoon, which I'll be watching after the show wraps up on MeTV. It's the last time you watched, what is that? What is that show?
Andy Griffith show.
When was the last time you watched that?
I can't even tell you.
I watched it a little bit as a kid with my uncle.
My grandma used
to
watch it. Yeah.
His name was Lenny. It's John freaking Steinbeck, Pet the Bunny, George. I don't know what that means. It's over my head.
I believe that's from Mice and Men, right?
Yes, it is.
Sounds like it is.
But I said George, and now they're saying, and I believe Lenny was the character's name.
If Mice and Men is by Steinbeck, dude, how do you not know of it? I do know of it. I just never read it or watched the movie. Now I'm wondering what books Branham has actually read. I tried not to read books whenever I was in high school. I would do the Cliff Notes and faked it till I made it.
Did you have to read To Kill a Mockingbird?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't really remember the books that we had to read in school. Like I said, I did.
I think being forced to read many books out, like we once had we to, got to high school.
We would have to write reports for sure, but I don't remember which like books they were.
I was hoping the movie versions were out and the Cliff Notes were huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had to read several. Oh,
I did the bare minimum in high school. Absolute bare minimum.
C's get degrees.
C's get degrees.
Especially here.
Especially here. Yep. Now, I mean, I was an AB student, but I did not. And I shouldn't be saying this. I did not work hard in school. I didn't care about school.
I would fall into that category as well.
I do read books now, though. I have a couple of books that I have around that I keep in the house.
When I traveled more on your schedule of travel, I read a lot more books and watched a lot more movies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was a cheat code for some of the movies. But, yeah, I mean, when you have that much time to kill, books are a great time filler.
What was your cheat code, LimeWire? No, it wasn't LimeWire.
No. I hope you enjoyed that, but no. But
no, that wouldn't.
I'm not gonna.
I had LimeWire. Like, it wasn't an old joke. LimeWire was big whenever I was.
But LimeWire was for music, right?
Yeah, I think you could download movies off of it and TV shows and videos.
Oh no, I'm not gonna incriminate anybody, but we had the source.
I think LimeWire was after Napster went dark.
They were both, I think, at the same time. But yeah, Napster got caught first or whatever.
Maybe LimeWire was the free
Thanks
Napster.
To Metallica.
Maybe LimeWire was the free Napster.
Oh, no doubt, because I got a ton of music off of LimeWire back in the day.
Was Napster the first time around? Was it free? It was free.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was free. I had a ton of music on Napster, but then Metallica obviously had the lawsuit, and they shut it down, but you could actually, like, protest it and get some of the music back, but it was at risk of being sued by the band individually, and because I was an idiot, I went ahead and did it, but, yeah, they never cared about me, so I got to keep my music for a little bit after that.
I think LimeWire was after Napster. I think it's what
LimeWire
replaced it
or survived after Napster was shut down.
A737 says that, Branham, your former humble teachers are concerned. I'm a little concerned that you know that. I was in AP English, sir. All right. So I just don't remember the books we read. 713-780-ESPN. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Car wreck of the day. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now, a word for my people at Allstate Siding and Windows. They're the best in the business. If you're looking to do something to protect your number one investment, for most of us, that's our house, then I can only suggest that you get in contact as quickly as possible with Allstate Windows and Siding, because Allstate Windows and Siding is everything you need in a company, and they have deals going on right now all the time. Allstate Windows and Siding, best in the business at doing what they do, which is windows and siding, but they do it with expertise. They come to you at no cost to you and tell you exactly how one or both can be a huge help and benefit to you with your house. The windows that I just had installed in my house, the curb appeal upgrades the overall look of the house and more modernizes it immediately. It's a phenomenal look. But when you really realize that you can save up to 40% on your energy bills and the fact that those windows are durable enough to sustain all the elements that we deal with hurricanes, with the heat in the summer, and the occasional really, really cold in the winter, it's a phenomenal investment. And just like the siding gets that hard outer shell. You don't have to constantly worry about all the different painting and repairs and things like that. Once you get the siding done, you get the right colors, and it's all taken care of for you because it's all part of the siding that protects your house and gives it a better overall curb appeal. Allstate Windows and Siding, best in the business too, because they come to you for free. Free home estimates, as I mentioned. And right now they got a lot of sales going on. 30% off on windows, $2,500 off on complete siding jobs, and always offering discounts for first responders, military, and senior citizens. Mary holds down the fort back at the headquarters, and her brother gets out there and does a lot of the actual work where he can give you the estimates. But the fact is, family-owned and operated for over almost 50 years, involved with us and involved in Houston sports almost the majority of the time, and they love taking care of Houstonians. Tell them I sent you by. They are unbelievable people doing great stuff with unbelievable products. Call them, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or look them up online at Allstate Windows and Siding.com.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, what are we nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Soccer Matters coming up after us. Glenn will be talking about the UEFA Champions League, Dynamo needing to turn around, and news on the summer of soccer in Houston. So you won't want to miss any of that. All right, car wreck of the day nominees, Blankers.
Phoenix Suns, who before the season started made the statement, it's the rest of the league's problem to deal with. That's how good they were going to be.
And then what happened, Joel?
Didn't turn out so good.
Got swept.
And now, because of the way that they've structured contracts and signed guys, there's only three guys they can move in the offseason. One of them's Kevin Durant, the other one's Booker, and the third one is Nurkic. Otherwise, no go and no draft picks.
Yeah, not a good look. I had the Suns, too. That was
Brad Beal has a no trade, by the way. I don't know that anybody would want him if they could trade him.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough there. How about the Sixers fans letting the Knicks fans take over Philly?
Yeah, they did, didn't they? Tad Brown should be ashamed of himself. That's normal.
They all should be mad.
That
Tad,
was his specialty.
Darryl.
They could shut it down and not sell the Knicks fans.
Brutal. I nominate that, Brian.
I think you got to nominate the Pelicans for going down 3-0 and then giving Charles Barkley the opportunity to talk about Galveston in their dirty-ass water, as he put it. So, yeah, Pelicans not showing up in the playoffs either.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Zion being out and Ingram being less than is one thing, but they got to show up.
They haven't been swept yet. But I mean, I think we also got to mention. Sorry, Joel. The Milwaukee Bucks being
awful.
Down 3-1.
How those guys
turned around
after
though?
After you fire the coach mid-season, you bring in Doc Rivers, and
you're can't
down
predict
3-1.
The injuries. It's just when your two best players go out. The car wreck of the day is Bobby Portis, because the one thing you can't do when your two best players is out is take arguably your third or fourth best player get thrown out within 5 minutes of the start of the game.
Not great. That guy knew I played. I went to Humble because I played baseball for Sitton. Your life's better if you play baseball for Sitton. Couple of nominees here. Car wreck of the day, comparing Cal McNair to Lenny of Mice and Men, who was, can't say that word, and accidentally murdered a woman. I didn't know that happened in Mice and Men. Did that happen in Mice and Men?
That was what I was alluding to. No one compared them. You used the term buffoon, and I said, is Lenny a buffoon?
That's comparison.
I don't know. Questionable.
It's a comparison.
I didn't say
Car wreck of the day, Cal's Calls. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Car wreck, Branham and Classic Books. Don't work hard on high school, kids. Agreed. You shouldn't work hard in high school. Worry about your career. I'm going to bring in my what I have on my bookcase tomorrow. I'll tell you
one
guys
book?
All the books that I've read.
You can carry it with one hand?
I'm currently reading three books. It shows you I'm not an avid reader. Car wreck of the day is easily an unread flaming thrower whose world is 288 characters, calling Cal a lovable buffoon. What's 288 characters?
Twitter.
That's not 288, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was 280.
It is. Oh, maybe it's 280, but yeah.
Well, he got it mixed up with the highway.
Huh. All 711 says all coloring books. All right, what's winning?
Cal's Calls.
I like house calls.
I think that's pretty good.
Congratulations, Kyle McNair. Your calls have won our car wreck of the day. Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis talking all things soccer. UEFA Champions League, Dynamo, and news on the summer soccer scene in Houston. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing all the hard work. He's Blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston.